Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Keisha.
Keisha.
I will be reading Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 17. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. And the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about the adoption of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, and indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. May God add a blessing to the reading of this word.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. And let us go into the word. I don't know if you realize it, but there is a battle going on for you, for each and every one of you. A few weeks ago, we heard about how we're living under foreign occupation. Remember that? And that this right here, this earth, is not our home. But are we removing the obstacles that are binding us? Are we removing the things that block the Holy Spirit's guidance? Are we hearing and listening to the Holy Spirit's voice? Are we allowing him to lead us? Are we blocking? You know, like in football, you're blocking, right? In basketball, are you on defense? Are we guarding our hearts from the enemy? So we can look at a few things. We can look at what Jesus did when he was here, when he came down. He came down and had his, well, let me say that he was God living out a human experience. He lived under foreign occupation the same way we do, right? He even had direct conversations with the ruler of this world. I mean, that's power. I'm not trying to have a conversation with Satan. Not on any day. But he had direct conversations with the king of this world. But he always, when you look at what he says and what he did, he always deferred to the Father. He always said, my Father's will. He always said something about my Father allowed, or it pleased my Father for this to happen. Because, see, he was here and he was God, but he was not working on his own power. Because he even says very plainly that what he does is not of his own initiative. It's because of the Father. So when he was here, he prayed. I mean, we can look in there. We can see all the places where he prayed to the Father, where he could go off into seclusion and talk with the Father. When he was with people, you know, in prayer, and he tells the disciples, you know, when they're asking, well, how do we pray? And he tells them about prayer. He tells them to stay connected to the vine. He tells them that this, I mean, he sets this example of how we are to live. us here under foreign occupation. But what do we do? Do we think we can do things differently than he did? Now, he was God having a human experience, not depending on his power at all as God, but having to depend upon God the Father, which is what he tells us to do, which is what he laid the example for us to do, to be that connected to the vine, to be that connected that we know there's nothing that we can do outside our own power. It's all about him. God the Father, connecting to him. So what Jesus says before he left is, you know what? I'm leaving. But I'm going to send a comforter. I'm going to send a teacher. I'm going to send someone to be in you, not just with you, but in you, so that you can stay connected to me, so you can stay connected to God the Father. And so he sent the Holy Spirit to help us as we, here, still under foreign occupation, battle. As we do battle. So we can look at different things. We can look at the book of Acts, and we can look at all the different things the Spirit does or that he did. Because, see, right now we talk about the Trinity, Jesus, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit. But the one that's really, really prominent right now in our lives is the Holy Spirit. He's here. He's holding back evil. He's here teaching. He's here guiding. And when we look at Acts, it tells us all the things that he does. He gives utterance. And God said he will pour out the Holy Spirit on all flesh, and our sons and daughters will prophesy. He also teaches. He also purposes. He also stops. Like when Paul wanted to go on to Bithynia, the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him go. So the Holy Spirit stirs up things in us. Like when Paul saw all these idols and all this stuff going on and the Spirit was stirred up, he had this righteous indignation that these people need to know who the real God is. And he wanted to go out there and preach it. The Spirit does those things. It moves us. He presses us. He catches us up. Just like with Philip going to the chariot. That was the Spirit. And then from that, the Spirit sent him somewhere else. It was the Spirit that told Peter, there are three men coming for you. I want you to go with them. You're going to be okay. Don't doubt. The Spirit talks. The Spirit guides. The Spirit does lots of different things. But do we allow it? Do we still have up the obstacles? Do we still have up some defenses that keep us bound in whatever it is that we really, really, really want to do? So we look at this battle. And I just said there's a battle going on for you, right? There is a battle going on for your mind. Your mind. And as I was preparing for this message, I stumbled upon a message given by someone else. And I was listening to it. And it was interesting. It was fascinating. And Kelsey was sitting in the office and she was listening to and asking some questions because she even got into this message. But he was breaking down what it is that holds us bound, that we won't allow the Holy Spirit to have its way. He was explaining what we need to do, what we need to let go of, to let the Holy Spirit lead and guide us. And I said, well, this is interesting. I never looked at this before, the psychology of it. I even went on Google and started Googling the conscious mind and the subconscious mind and all this other stuff. But he was basically explaining. Because we have the conscious mind and the subconscious mind, right? The conscious mind takes things in. And some of it deposits it into the subconscious mind. So when we see things repeatedly that we really don't need to see, it's kind of like when you watch something violent or some crime or some whatever drama, and people say, you know what? Our kids are becoming desensitized. See, they don't understand the pain because they see it on TV. So when we repeat that in our conscious mind, it gets into our subconscious. And when it's in our subconscious mind and it continues to be repeated over and over and over, it can control the way we think. Am I right? It controls the way we think, the way we behave, the way we begin to look at other things. And then we start acting like our foreign invader. We start trying to handle situations the way our foreign invader would handle it. We don't let go and let God. We're going to take care of this ourselves. I know exactly what I need to say to her, and she's going to do what I told her. That, you know, the whole thing, neck rolling, all of that. And we start emulating, if it will, our captor, as it was said before. He began to talk about, in this message, about how our will, the will that God has given us, is the most powerful thing on earth. Because not only has God given us will, he's given us free will. And with that free will, we can decide, are we going to go right or are we going to go left? Are we going to live the way of give or the way of get? Are we going to follow God or are we going to do our own thing? And God allows us to make those choices. Can you believe that? This is a powerful thing because it affects everything. It affects his plan. It affects what he has laid out. But he allows us to make that choice. But we, being Christians, we all want to make the right choice, correct? We don't always make the right choice, correct? But we want to make the right choice, correct? So we have to guard. We have to go on defense of what it is that we allow in our hearts and in our minds. Sometimes we're in a car and we're changing channels. We put it on scan and Michael and Kelsey go, "Oh, mommy, that's my song." Okay, what's the words? "I don't know, but I like the beat." Or make them sing it. And then you start, "Oh, that's what he's singing about." I remember a time once we were having a celebration for a friend. She just finished dental school. We had karaoke. And one of my good friends, her daughter said, "I want to sing karaoke. I like the song. No, I don't remember who sings it. But she wanted to sing I Like Big Butts." The thing of, we all knew the song. Y'all know the song. That's why you're laughing. The thing is, she had no clue what the words said. So when the words start coming up on the machine, she's standing there going, "Oh, no. I can't." Into the music, not paying attention to the words. And then she ended up in a situation which, for her, was she felt embarrassed. She felt embarrassed that she chose. Well, you kind of had a clue if it says, "I like big butts," that it may have something in it you may not want to sing. But she got up there and she giggled her way through it. And then she sat down. But we're in a place where there's the battle for the control of our minds. Going back to my purpose right now. We will have peace when we understand that God is in control of everything. Now, yes, he can make you do a whole bunch of stuff, but he doesn't. He leaves it up to you. And that will that we have controls our destiny. So we have to be very conscious of what we do. If we want the Holy Spirit to lead us, we want the Holy Spirit to guide us, we want to be free and just follow the Holy Spirit. We say that's what we want, but then we have things that we don't want to let go of. I mean, we can look at the movies that we watch. There's all kinds of movies. We can watch Star Wars, right? How many people pretended they were Darth Vader? Walk around with a deep voice, Luke, I am your father. And just the other day, some friends of mine went to Comic-Con. And I'm like, well, did you all dress up? No, they didn't. But you can go on the website and see people dressed in all kinds of costumes for the comic convention. People are living out fantasies from movies. Have you ever watched a soap opera and decided you were one of the characters? Are you going to live your life like Erica Kane? You know, Erica said that to him. That's what I'm going to say to my boyfriend when I see him. Living your life like Erica Kane, or even there are things like Les Mis, which is one of my favorite movies. And when you watch that, you feel like, I'm going to go and I'm going to conquer. Whatever it is I want, I'm just going to go for it. These things, although not all of them bad, they control. So we have to watch that. Even the music that we listen to. We were at Portillo's yesterday, and the Rocky theme came on, right? And you remember seeing Sylvester Stallone running up those steps in Philadelphia and jumping up and down, and you wanted to jump up and down and go, yes, he's going to do it. And even when you want to feel motivation, Rocky song is one of those songs that people play. It's one of those things. And I think I mentioned this song, My Prerogative, from before. You listen to My Prerogative, can't nobody tell you what to do when you finish that. Or I'm a Survivor, Destiny's Child. You know, I'm a survivor. That, how do you feel when you hear it? You feel empowered. You feel empowered. And even Before He Cheats by Carrie Underwood, even if you've never been cheated on, you're still thinking, if somebody cheat on me, I'm going to slash his tires and bust his windshield. And then opinions. We let opinions influence us. We look at relativity. Well, what may be good for me may not be good for you. Or this works for me, may not work for you. All these different things that are out there in society. And then there's sexuality over everything. The things our kids are dealing with, we didn't even know what they were. But now it's just here, out in the open, all over the place. So as we look at our lives, and remember, there is a battle. And God knew about this battle. And that's why God admonishes us. He tells us, don't think on those things. Don't think about all that violence. Don't watch all those. Don't listen to all of that. Don't hear all those different opinions. Look and focus on me. He tells us in Philippians to focus on the things that are good. When you're focused on things that are good, what's going to come out of that? Things that are good. When we focus on things that are lovely, what's going to come out of that? Things that are lovely. When we focus on the fruits of the Spirit that are being developed, we have peace, we have goodness, we have kindness, we have gentleness, and we back up off of the world system. The world system that said, I'm going to take off this jacket and I'm going to show you who I am. The world system that says, I am going to curse you out. I'm going to slash your tires. I'm going to bust your windshield. The world system that tells us to live all kinds of lies. God knew what would happen. God knew when he gave each of us free will what could happen. So he says, focus on me. Put the kingdom first. Focus on me. Let the Holy Spirit do its will, have its way, and let go. Stop letting all that repetitive negative stuff come into your system, come into your being, come into your behavior. Behave like me. The Holy Spirit was given to each of us so that we could work, be formed, be shaped to be like Christ. Christ didn't have those issues. And yes, some women say, well, he was God. He had an advantage. He had a leg up. And I can say, yes, this is true. He knew where he was coming from. He knew where he was going. He knew the beginning from the end. But at the same time, he shows us that it can be done. It can be done with God. It can be done with the Holy Spirit. That's why he sent it. That is why it's in us, because we can't grasp what needs to be done. We can't grasp the truth without it. We can't be led unless we allow ourselves to be led. God can come up and whisper in your ear, but are you going to listen? Are you going to do what he says? Are you going to go with the good feeling as you're driving down the street to your boo, wherever or whatever you're doing? Are you listening to the Holy Spirit? Are you allowing him to guide you? As it says, I'm going to reread parts of Romans 8. The mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. And it says, you, however, and when he says you, however, he's talking about everybody in this room. And we can go read your names off one by one. He's talking to Miss Carrie. He's talking to Tracy, Miss McGahee, Billy, Derek. We can just go on back through the room. He is saying to each of you by name, you, put your name there, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. So, brothers and sisters, we have been given a gift. We have been given the Holy Spirit. We have been given a will that we can control, and it is imperative for us to allow the Holy Spirit to have its way, to allow the Holy Spirit to govern what we put in our minds, what we put in our hearts, what we put in our subconscious. It is imperative for us to be mindful of what we listen to, because we become what we listen to. We can become what we continually see. Your first thing is like, I want to bust something. But that is not God. The Holy Spirit is talking and leading and guiding you differently. And you become what you continually listen to. So surround yourself. Protect your environment. Surround yourself with godly influences. Surround yourself. You know, some people have their praise music going on or whatever it is. Change your atmosphere and you change your mind. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Two ways to do this. One, follow the way of the flesh, which leads to death. or two, follow the way of the Spirit that leads to life. Either way, we are following. Amen? So as we're following, one of the things that we need to consider is, who are we following? Do we follow the way of the flesh? And my wife went through quite a bit of the fleshly following, what happens there. Or do we follow the way of the Spirit? What I'm going to focus on is following the way of the Spirit. We're talking about letting the Spirit lead us. How does that, y'all remember that game, Follow the Leader? There's even a song about it now. Follow the leader, 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 follow the leader. Y'all know that song? One person? I need to play some more Trini songs for y'all, right? But it's about following the leader. Now, how many of y'all ever played Follow the Leader before? Okay, so we know what we're talking about. Okay, I need a brave person, a brave you. Come on, girl. You know you're going to be speaking, right? Come on up here. Give Bree a hand. Okay. So, Bree, what I want you to do is to describe for me, please, this Follow the Leader game. What's that about? How is it played?
Okay. Follow the Leader. You have one leader, and you have a group of followers. And whatever they do, you have to do. That's action, speaking. So let's say, you know, they clap their hands, you clap your hands with them. You have to follow the leader, you know?
Okay. All right, so my question is, this is kind of like an interview, okay? So my question is, what is the goal of Follow the Leader? What is the ultimate goal?
Is there a goal?
You see?
To exactly follow the leader.
Y'all cheating.
Yeah, I got that. I thought about that.
Okay. So to exactly follow the leader.
Yes.
So that's what we do, right? We just run around following the leader without any specific goal or direction. Is that how that goes? You see, this is the issue with that game, Follow the Leader, right? There's no real goal or purpose. Marcus, what's going on? Because your wife is trying to control you. Trying to put his hand up on... And in her mind, she's saying, well, don't embarrass me. Don't embarrass me. No, I'm talking about follow the leader. That's slightly different. Same thing?
It's the same.
Okay, Simon Says.
Okay.
Well, we call it follow the leader, right?
Yeah,
this is my
Simon
show. Okay, I'll accept that. But the thing is that with follow the leader, Simon Says, there's really no specific goal in mind except follow me. But see, the difference is that when you follow Holy Spirit, there's a specific goal. Because if you look at, you might want to take a seat, okay? Right? Because if you look at Holy Spirit, there's a specific goal. Holy Spirit wants all people to be saved and to come into a knowledge of Christ. That's why we follow the leader. Because as it says, that our carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the will of God, and it cannot be. So what Holy Spirit does now, it guides us into a way of life that allows us the opportunity, right, to follow in His path as we are led towards that point in our lives where we become saved and we have a knowledge of who Christ is. That could be found in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. So you see, when we follow the leader, that game that she wants to play, right? We have a difference, right? You follow the way of the world, the way of the world basically is, it leads towards death, right? But the way of the Holy Spirit, following the Holy Spirit leads to life. I have another question for you. Could you come forward? Now, when you start playing Follow the Leader, right? Tell me something. Does the leader, the person who's leading all of these followers, right, does that leader have a specific path already planned out as to where they're going to go and what they're going to do? Or is it something that's kind of like made up as they go?
I'm going to say it's made up.
It's made up?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought so. Yeah. Right? So it's a made up path. You know, I'm going along and I say, well, okay, I could jump from here to there. And I don't know if Brie can do that, but in the event that she can't do it, yes, right? And I'm going to try to go up on the stairs and crawl on the in the rafters and things like that, hopefully no one would be able to. So I make it up as I go. But you see, the difference now is that with Holy Spirit, some of the sound sounds different. With Holy Spirit, the difference is that there's a clear path that's already lined out for us. We already know what the path is. It says that unrighteousness must put on righteousness. That's the path. Right? Corruption must put on incorruption. That's in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 53. It also says, repent, believe, and be baptized. Right? It's a pathway. It also says that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Right? Paths already laid out for us. Another difference between follow the leader, 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 follow the leader, and Holy Spirit. A specific goal and a specific path towards that goal. Right? I got another question for you. Okay? The question is, what is the purpose of them following the leader? Right? Okay. Now, in the leader's mind, there's a specific purpose that the leader has. Right? What is the purpose?
Well, in the game, the leader's trying to trip up the followers.
Oh!
Yeah.
The leader trying to trip up the followers. Okay, go ahead.
And the followers are trying to say, you know, you can't trip me up.
And the followers, so there's a little battle going on there, right? The leader is trying to go do things that you can't do. And then at the end, if it is that I lose all of you, I trip all of you all up, I win. Cool? Is that how it goes?
Yeah.
The difference here is that with Holy Spirit, none are lost. Well, based on what Romans says, if, right? There's that word if you allow Holy Spirit to lead you, there's none that's lost. It's designed not to break down people, right? But to build us up, right? It's designed not to make us weak, but to strengthen us because of all the things that we're going through, you know, block built upon block, and we become stronger and stronger individuals, right? So the purpose of Holy Spirit is not to tear us down, but to build us up. It says that it's designed to build us up till we all come into the unity of the faith, meaning that all of us coming together, it's not that, like people falling off by the wayside and we're just turning and moving forward and say, yes, yes, another one bites the dust. Doom. Okay, y'all in church now, okay? Y'all in church, right? So it says that we are to grow, keyword, grow in grace and knowledge. 2 Peter 3, right? It says also, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, and you will be exalted. You feel a little bit uncomfortable just standing there, right? Okay, cool. Just be good, right? Humble ourselves. So part of the issue is we are humbling ourselves under the authority of Holy Spirit and allowing Holy Spirit to lead us into that path that we're supposed to go into. You know, that path towards life. Not one is left behind. None. You see, that's another difference between following the ways of the world and following Holy Spirit. Because it's not God's intent that any should perish, but that all would have. Let's try that again. It is not God's intent that any should perish, but that all will have everlasting life. Right? So as Holy Spirit leads, what happens is that we follow. And he's leading us into the paths of righteousness. Right? So as he leads us into the paths of righteousness, it is not a path that is difficult, it's not a path that's impossible for us to traverse, right? But it's a path that with some energy, with some effort, and with a lot of Holy Spirit, I didn't leave out Holy Spirit, I remember, right? With a lot of energy and a lot of Holy Spirit, because he's the one who's leading the way, right? We can get through that path. So here's another question. The leader, when he sort of like leads, right? That's why they call him the leader. And other people follow. Does the leader sort of like help people along the way? Could you speak into the mic?
No, he doesn't.
Okay. Does he give people, or she, you know, we equal opportunity here, right? Does he or she give people any type of assistance?
No.
Any hints?
No.
Any, I think in computer games you call them cheats? Yeah, any cheats along the way?
No cheats.
So absolutely no type of assistance?
No, just got to keep up.
That's kind of rough, right? But see, the difference is that that's not the way Holy Spirit works. Because how does the song goes? We fall down and we get up. We fall down and we get up.
Oh,
for a saint is just a sinner who fell down and got up. That's Holy Spirit. Because once you fall down, Holy Spirit don't say, okay, oops, there it is. No, what does he do? He turns around and he comes back and he says, Brie, come on, babe, you can do this. You can do this. I got you. Right? Now, the interesting thing is that he's still leading up front, you know, but he's back here at the same time. I can't fathom that. Okay, but just accept it. He's up front. He's still leading, but he's coming back for Brie. Oh, he's coming back for me too. He's come back a lot of times. Right? So, the old saying, I think one of the military branches says, no one left behind. Okay? As long as you're breathing, Holy Spirit is going to be there. Right? As long as you're breathing, Holy Spirit is saying, you know what? I am your helper. John chapter 14, verse 26. Right? It says, Jesus is our good shepherd. He didn't just say a shepherd. He says, good shepherd. What does the shepherd do? The good shepherd leaves the 99 in the field, and he goes back to find that one, right? Any of you ever been that one? I know I'm talking to some of God's people here, right? Some of us been that one left behind, right? And Holy Spirit, he didn't just keep it moving, right? He came back for us. Isn't that right? I'm talking to you. Isn't that right? Yeah. He went back and he pulled us up. Right? And he says that God will never leave us. Right? So you see that game that you all play? You see, that's the way of the flesh. Right? But the way of the Spirit is that no one is left behind. Right? Last question. How does this game end?
Either the leader fooled all his followers, mm-hmm. or that one follower made it to the end.
Okay.
That's what I think. Yeah.
So basically what happens is that the game is ended when everybody falls off. Yeah. I win. But the interesting thing is that when you follow Holy Spirit, the game never ends. Amen?
Amen.
He never ends because he's constantly there behind you, he's constantly there in front of you, he's constantly there in you, supporting you. Because I know for a fact that in this game called life, right, we have some of these experiences. Sometimes we feel left behind, right? And at this point, you know, I don't want to let Brie feel as though she's left behind because the show is over. Okay, so give Brie a round of applause. Thank you. Right? You see, the interesting thing here is that Holy Spirit is always there. We were talking yesterday, and we were doing the Experiencing God, and one of the examples it had in the Experiencing God is this. If you had to go through a minefield, and there's someone who says, I know the way through that minefield, right? I've been through that minefield many times. I know exactly where each of those mines are. I know how far apart they're placed. I know the exact path through that minefield. Now, granted, you have to go through the minefield. And what that individual says is, follow me. Stay close to me, and I will show you a way through that minefield. Now, what you gonna do? Some of you are not certain what you're going to do, right? What you're going to do?
Follow.
Follow really close. But for some strange reason, that works in real life, right? That works on this physical world. But somehow when it comes to the spiritual realm, right, we tend to want to think that we can do it on our own, right? I can do it on my own. I know how to do this. Been there, done that. I have a lot of experience, right? But see, the problem comes up where not. We don't know diddly about fighting a spiritual battle, right? Because what happens is that Christ already said, I've been there, I've been through that, I know the way, right? And what did God say? Christ said that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one can come to the Father except through me, okay? But for some strange reason, we think that we can make it on our own. You know, it's like, how's that working for you? Right? So all I'm saying is, listen, time to follow Holy Spirit, right? Time to follow Holy Spirit. I know in the past that we haven't placed as much emphasis on Holy Spirit as we ought to, right? But Holy Spirit is an integral part of our salvation. Because remember what Christ said. He says, when I go, there's going to come someone to do this work. And the works that I did will pale into insignificance compared to the works that you will do with Holy Spirit. It's like, wow, is there something that's better than Christ? No, I'm not saying there is. Okay, it's not my place. But think about it. Christ himself said that the works that he did would be far less than the works that Marcus is talking to you, right? The works that he did is less significant than the works that you all would be able to do. So my question is, are we there yet? And if we are not there, then the only reason that we are not there is because we are not utilizing Holy Spirit in the manner that it was intended. So let's use Holy Spirit, right? Holy Spirit is the means by which we can follow that path, that spiritual minefield, and get out on the other side, achieving our goal. Unlike this game, Follow the Leader, there's a clear path, right? The leader is actually the Holy Spirit. The leader cares about you. He cares about us, builds us up. And quite often what happens is that the building process, we want the microwave building, right? We say, God, give me patience and give me now, right? We say, God, help me to grow in love and I want it now. Help me to grow in knowledge and understanding, right? Help me to grow in peace. And we want the microwave version. But the difficulty is, there are two difficulties. One, you're not going to get the microwave version. You're going to get the slow cook, right? You know those slow cookers, yes, right? But the slow cooker is turned on low, right? You're going to get a slow cook on low. And basically what's happening now is that when we go through that slow cook process, right? Anybody here cooks? Which tastes better, the slow cook or the high blazing fire cook? The slow cook, right? So I would imagine that we want to taste good. Not that God is a cannibal or anything like that, but we want to taste good. So God takes us through this slow cooking process where we can process, you know, our lives, where we can live, and we have opportunities. And oftentimes what we do is we look at some of these things that happen to us in life as trials, right? And we say, God, get me out of this trial. Help me to learn this message really quick, this lesson really quick, so we can get finished with this trial and I can move on with my life, chasing after the physical things, right? But you see, if we change our frame of thinking, what happens is that we start looking at these incidences in our life, not as trials, but they are building blocks. They are opportunities to learn. They are training sessions. They are practice runs or practice drills. That's what they are. And for anyone who's been involved in athletics or music or any type of discipline, you're going to recognize that, you know, when you're playing the guitar, you got to develop those calluses, right? Anyone plays the guitar? You're going to develop those calluses. It hurts, but you got to go through that in order to learn to play the guitar well. Track and field or any type of sport, you got to go through that pain. Why? Because it's only through then that you get better. There's no athlete that gets better that doesn't go through some type of pain. Really. That's the slow cook. Accept it. I mean, you could be a little bit of a masochist and enjoy the pain. That's how I used to do it when I was a kid growing up and training, right? The pain comes, I say, yes, this feels good, right? And that's what we got to do, really. Recognizing that the trial that we experience of our faith works what? Patience, right? And what God is looking for is, he's not looking for a quick cook. He's not looking for something that was done in a microwave, right? He's looking for someone who's been tried and tested, right? So that he can say, yes, now I know, Carissa. Now I know, Linda. Now I know that you fear me. Amen? So as I said in the beginning, there are two ways we can go with this. The first way is the way of the flesh, and we know where that leads to. It leads to death. Or we could go the way of the spirit. Because what it says in Acts also is that, you know, both of them, they lead to death, right? You follow the way of the spirit, and because of sin, we die. And we're physical human beings. Either way, we're going to die. Sorry. Okay? But following the way of the spirit, this corruptible flesh would be made incorruptible, right? This mortality will put on immortality. And then that's when we get into now life. So we have a promise for life in spite of the fact of what is it that we might be going through now. And our life is assured once we follow Holy Spirit, not the ways of the flesh. Amen? I want to close off by saying this, that beginning the first Sunday in July, we're going to be starting a round of baptismal counseling for any individual. We've had a few requests so far, but any individual who has a desire to be baptized, please see me after services, write me a note, make a telephone call, but somehow communicate with me that, and my wife is giving me a signal. Oh, yes, in your bulletins, we have these sheets here with some information. So just let me know. We'll be starting those during the first Sunday of July. So let us go before God. Our Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we are thankful to you, great God in heaven, that you have given to us life. And you've told us, great God in heaven, that what we need to do is we need to allow you to live your life in us. And because, Father, of the, as my wife was mentioning, because of the conscious and subconscious things that's been going on in our lives, great God in heaven, our carnal mind is naturally against your way of life. And we don't know, great God in heaven, we don't know exactly what it is like to be fully submitted to you. So we ask, great God, that you will teach us. We thank you, great God, for a Holy Spirit that's available to guide us through these spiritual mind fields, great God. And we pray, Father in heaven, that you would help us so that we could continually be in this process of humility, humbling ourselves before you and recognizing that you are God and that you know the path to righteousness, that your Son lived a life, great God in heaven, totally dependent on you, giving up all of his powers, great God, giving up all authority, and in total subjection to you, demonstrating to us, great God in heaven, that this life can be lived if only we would worship you, if only we would surrender our lives to you. So we ask, great God in heaven, for a spirit of surrender, a spirit of humility, so that we can allow Holy Spirit to have his way in us. Because we know, great God in heaven, that there is power in Holy Spirit. We know, great God in heaven, that this power that built this universe, that sustains this universe, that creates all of these miracles, that power is dwelling in us. and really great God with such power. We are superhumans. And we ask, great God in heaven, that we would live that life, Father, that we would not be faint, that we will not be living in fear, great God in heaven, but that we can go out and do the work that you've given us to do, and that we can be using the power of Holy Spirit that you've given us. So God, we are here in your presence, Father, and our plea is that you would help us, great God, by continuing your patience with us and helping us, great God, so that we can grow into that boldness, Father, to have that spirit of conquest, and to recognize, Father, that as the song goes, this world is not my home. I have no God but you. And if heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what can I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. This is not our world, great God, and we are ambassadors, and we are here, great God, and we accept the fact that we are your children, given power and given grace. In the name and by the authority of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.